Proverbs 11:20. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:20. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:20. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. John 15:15. Galatians 5:13. For you were called freedom. Brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful today for the privilege which we have to sing praises to your name. And we appreciate so very much this magnificent music from the hearts of our congregation and from this family. We're thankful for the joy and peace and contentment we have in our souls because of the fact that Jesus Christ makes all of this possible. We're thankful indeed today for the privilege of studying your word. We pray that you will guide us in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen you see Ephesians 2, 1. And you being dead in the trespasses and in your sins, and you being dead in the trespasses and in the sins of you. In the session preceding this one, we referred to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I decided that I would come today at the beginning of this session and put these verses on the screen for you to see. These are magnificent verses. We have to understand what the true meaning is. It begins in Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want you to see a unique word that is presented to us. This particular word right here is the word having been saved. The way that we translated it is for you to be able to see that this root word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. The way that it is used here shows us how this particular verb is used in this magnificent sentence of Ephesians 2:8. You'll notice that we have it described for you that it is a perfect tense verb. It is a passive voice. It's a participle. The nominative masculine plural. We've all learned in past days that when you have a participle, you have the conjugation of a verb and the declension of a noun. So we have the root word sozo, S-O-Z-O. The way that the word is used, and you can see it here, it is a word which means that salvation came at a point of time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when God worked that miracle, it was an everlasting miracle. God doesn't sponsor any flops. And so when God saved you, He saved you, perfect tense, with an eternal salvation. The perfect tense says that you have been saved in the past, consummated in the past, and the result of that consummation continues on and on and on to this present moment and continues in the future. That's all I want to say about it, because I want you to see. It says, for by grace you've been saved in the past, with the result that your salvation is an eternal salvation. And you were saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any one of us should boast. Now, that's not what my sermon is. My sermon today is on the categories of death. And I shouldn't have the title, Seven Ways to Die. That's not a good title. Or Seven Ways to Be Dead. You must realize that I'm capable of making mistakes. Not like you, of course. There are some things I shouldn't be doing, but this is one I shouldn't have done, to leave you with the impression that I'm saying that there are seven different ways to be dead. What we're dealing with is categories of death, or death types. Once you see what I'm emphasizing, you'll have an appreciation for this emphasis. Let's call it death types. One is physical death. Another is spiritual death. Another is second death. Another is positional death. Another is carnal death. And I'm going to go back on each one of these if you're copying them. The next one is operational death. Some years ago, I came up with this one, oppositional death. And then the scripture deals with the subject of sexual death. Now, let me just let you have time to look at this, because most of you would like to take these eight different types of death down, because in a few moments, I'm going to be looking with you at these subjects. And I believe that you will want to take the word down and then add some information to it so that you can have a better understanding of what each one of these categories really means. We talked about physical death in the preceding service. We talked about spiritual death in the preceding service. We feel like we need to define that more in detail. So there's physical death, spiritual death, second death, positional death, carnal death. There's operational death, oppositional death, and sexual death. Now, the reason why I'm letting this stay on the screen for a while is because I want you to take these down if you so desire, because we're going to be looking then in a few moments at each one of these with a definition that helps us better understand it. What's amazing to me is to be able to see, and I hope we have time today to talk about this, that God intends for every individual to believe, realizing that not every individual will believe. So when God started this whole thing off, He put every name of every individual ever born into a registry. We'll talk about that in detail later. Once we see this, we'll have a fantastic comprehension and understanding of subjects like predestination, foreordination, election, so forth. If we don't understand this, we're not going to be able to get those things together. So I'm just trying to give you a little beginning thought. Death types. physical death, spiritual death, second death, positional death, carnal death, and then operational death, oppositional death, and sexual death. With that in mind, I'm going to place these over to the side so that we can come back in a little while. Let's begin with the categories of death. Let's look first of all at physical death. All of us in this auditorium through the years have had the opportunity, whether we enjoyed it or not, to face loved ones who passed away. As I told you just a few weeks ago, the only brother I have, 5 years older than me, died and went to heaven. And as I stood by that casket and looked at that body, I was aware that my brother was not in that casket. I have been by the side of many caskets over the years, with almost 70 years now preaching. Can you imagine how many funerals I've attended and how many funerals I have preached? And I have been aware of the fact that so many people have some foreign concepts and ideas in relationship to that subject of death. Physical death, defined on the screen now, is separation of body and soul. What I would like for you to do is to get a clean, clear concept of what I'm saying here. Physical death is separation of body and soul. Or we could say it's a separation of body from soul and spirit. If you're comprehending my words now, you're able to see that there's a circle. And there's an emphasis upon Adam in the garden and Eve being created with body, soul, and spirit. We see them as having the ability to know that they had a body, but they had not only an awareness of things in the physical realm, but as a body, soul, and spirit, they had the ability to comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual. Disobedience came on the scene. Something about them died. It was not their body that died. It was not their eternal soul that died, but it was that human spirit. When a provision was made for them, and we'll not go into all the details, and their acceptance of that provision, of a complete, as the Hebrew presents it, a complete covering, they now went back to body, soul, and spirit, but possessing now an old sinful nature. The way you and I were born is the way they were after the fall. We're born physically alive and spiritually dead. If an unsaved person sat in this auditorium today, they would be able to comprehend those things in the realm of the physical. But they would not be able to enjoy what you as a believer enjoy. They could not comprehend and appreciate and enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual. That's what happened to you and me when we were born into God's kingdom. God gave us the ability to comprehend and understand and appreciate and enjoy those things in the realm of the spiritual. We're born into God's kingdom and we are trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. At the point of our physical death, there will be a separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. Number two on the screen is spiritual death. Spiritual death means separation from God in time. Separation from God in time. Here's an individual who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Their body and soul, but not body, soul, and spirit. The Bible describes them as psychikos individuals, soulish. The Bible describes you and me as born-again believers, as pneumatikos individuals, which simply is the word for pneuma, breathe. We have the breath of God. We've been born into God's kingdom. You and I must see that there is spiritual death, which is separation from God and time. If that unsaved person goes out of this life still unsaved, that death is called the second death, which is separation from God forever. I almost have to cry when I think in terms of having to say that. I want you to realize that you need to put this down. There's not anything worse that can take place in any person's life than to face this second death, which is separation from God forever. I trust you're able to see and sense what I'm saying. I'm saying it with a heart that beats with sorrow in relationship to the individuals who will not accept God's plan of redemption for them. When God loved, He loved the world. And when Christ died, He died for everyone. But not everyone, because of free will, because each individual makes decisions for himself or herself. Not every person will accept God's plan of redemption. Number four is positional death, which is identification with Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection. Many, many times I've talked to you about positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, and ultimate sanctification. What do I mean? I will not deal now with experiential or ultimate. I will deal only with positional, which emphasizes our position in Christ. When God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, He died for the sins of all mankind. And when any individual, no matter who he is, accepts that gift of salvation, God then works a miracle of regeneration. And that miracle of regeneration at the point of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit brings that person from dichotomy, body and soul, to trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. And that's where you and I are as born-again believers. That is known as positional identification with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. The next death that you see on the screen is carnal death. Carnal death, simply defined, is being out of harmony. I thought a lot about this. In relationship to family life, in relationship to husband and wife relationships, in relationship to our friends and whatever happens, many times in our minds, we get out of harmony, out of fellowship, in relationship to the husband, in relationship to the wife, in relationship to children, in relationship to parents. On and on you could go, out of harmony, out of fellowship. And I got to thinking again this morning that being restored to fellowship is an interesting, beautiful thing. And I got to thinking even about the fact, and I wondered about it. Are you ever in doubt about the fact that the pastor may be wondering about something? It hit my mind, and I wondered about this. Is it absolutely essential that you, to get back in fellowship, have to word it? Or do you have to just think it? Now, is that being crazy on the pastor's part? I want you to see something. I want you to understand what was going on in my mind. Because there are times when you will be out of fellowship, out of harmony with your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. And then you think it and you get back in fellowship. You may even word it. Lord, that was wrong. I admit that is wrong. I accept the fact that I'm forgiven. Or do you just Think it. Now you work on that with me. You can tell me later what you think. I'm telling you, we're down here where the water hits the wheel. We're down here where you and I live. If you don't believe this, you just get married. Are you always in harmony, in sweet, divine relationship with your husband or wife? Never any problems, never any disagreements. Everything is lovely. Well, you're strange, folks. You really are. I know better than that. Joyce and I have been married 64 years now, and I appreciate her more now than ever before. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we're not on the same page. But we get back on the same page fast. And I believe sometimes we don't even word it. I believe we just think it. It's just thinking it. I've got to get back in fellowship with you, darling. It's wrong to be out of fellowship. It's wrong. I'm trying to let you see out of harmony is described in the Bible as carnal death. The next one is operational death. Now, when I got into this, I got to realizing that the reason why many times we don't do what we should do on a day-by-day basis is because we're not properly in relationship to our Lord. It's not a proper relationship. And so as a result of that, the things we do can amount to something other than agathos, something other than divine good. We may be doing good for someone, but not in harmony with the Lord. It adds up to zero to the Lord. In other words, we have to understand that what we do on a day-by-day basis in relationship to husband and wife, in relationship to parents, in relationship to children, in relationship to our friends, we have to do these things while we're in fellowship with our Lord. One of the things, Joyce's brother came out to visit with us, and he's a stockbroker, and we have good theological discussions. And one of the things that we talked about this week as he visited with us was I was telling him that God has given us a system that we call the grace system of comprehension. Well, immediately I realized that guy knew what I was talking about. And he emphasized the fact that when you study the Bible, you have to be in harmony and fellowship. And that's right. God has given us a grace system of comprehending the truth. When we study, when you're in this auditorium, be sure that you stay in fellowship, in harmony. And as you stay in harmony, then God, the Spirit, works the miracle of understanding, comprehension in your life and mine. And when we do that, there will not be the failure to produce. We'll be able to produce in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next one. This is the one I came up with a few years ago. The others are not original with me. So many things are not original with me. I decided a long time ago that only God is original. Now, some of you ought to be picking up on that. I realized that I needed to say something about oppositional death. Now, this means living in opposition to God's plan. Living in opposition to God's plan. When I look out at this auditorium and when I think in terms of other people hearing my voice today, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm convinced that God has a specific plan for your life and for mine. And so I understand then that you and I can either oppose His plan or we can fit into His plan. We can do what He wants us to do or we can fight that plan. Be sure, folks, young folks especially, be sure that you're not fighting the plan of God for your life. Whatever God's plan for your life is, it's right, it's safe, it's best. God's plan is always right and best and safe. Don't find yourself opposing God's plan. You say, well, how do I know God's plan? Stay in the fellowship of the Lord. stay in the Word of God and live your life on a moment-by-moment basis in proper relationship to Him. Oppositional death. And then there's sexual death. We'll not get into that. We find that presented to us in the Scripture. Okay. Again, Ephesians 2, 1. And you being dead in trespasses, opposing divine laws, and in your sins, missing the mark. Well, let's see. I have two major things to do, and I let you help me here. One is I would like to talk about this concept of what I said at the beginning, that when every individual is born, their name is in a eternal registry. Would you like for me to talk about that? Okay. Or do you want me to talk about physical death? Isn't that interesting that I would come to this congregation and ask you a question like that, knowing that you don't talk back anyway? Because we've told you not to talk back. And here the preacher is saying, talk back. No, I'm not. That's rhetorical. That just simply means I'm asking you a question so that you can get into your thinking. And right now I believe that I'm sensing that you'd like to hear just a little bit more about this book of life. The Scripture emphasizes the book of life. The book of life, I'm convinced by many, many scriptures that it is a registry of all people until they die. Now, you put this into your thinking. I started to say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, if a person dies without accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, his name at that point of time will be blotted out of the book of life. Now, I could give you a lot of verses, but what I'm trying to do is give you some general thoughts. Time, eternity. Are you aware of the fact that we're living in between Pentecost over here and the rapture over here? We're living in time. God put you on the earth at a different time than He put me. He put my brother on the earth 5 years before He put me on the earth. So I'm here for a period of time. In other words, it's God's plan. He put me here. He put you here at this particular point of time. So, in time, the book of life has all names. Every person until the point of death. In eternity future, the book of life will have only the names of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're saying, preacher, where are you getting all of this? Well, I have it listed for you here. So you take the verses down, and I have some of them underlined so that I can say to myself, obey what you've written ahead of time, read. Philippians 4:3, Revelation 3:5, Revelation 13:8, Revelation 17:8. There's no way that I could exegete all of these verses, but I do want you to record them. Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 15. Revelation 21, 27. Revelation 22:19. I have written myself a note. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Go down to verse 27. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 21, 27. Revelation 22, 19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. One of these days we're going to come back to this, the Lord willing, and exegete and give great detail. What I'm saying is, and I need to repeat, Revelation 4:3, Revelation 3:5, Revelation 13:8, Revelation 17:8, Revelation 20:12, Revelation 20:15. By the way, I should even read some of these. Let's go to Revelation 20:12 and following. Open your Bibles, please, and let's look at it. I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their sins, no, according to their deeds. What they depended upon to get them to heaven will not get them there, because they depended upon their good works. They depended upon their deeds. You've got to look at those verses to see how powerful they are. Notice again, I'm going to read. And I saw the dead, great, small, standing before the throne. And the books, not book, this is plural, books, were opened. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, plural, according to their deeds, not according to their sins. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them unsaved individuals, according to their deeds. Notice, if you will. And death and hell and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We talked about the second death in the first session. Look at verse 15, Revelation 20:15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book, singular, of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Christ died for everyone. There's a book. And when a person dies unsaved, books, according to their deeds. The book of life has all members of the human race in it. When a lost person dies, his name is blotted out. You'll have some time to think about that all week. Come back on Wednesday night, we'll study again. I just wanted you to see that we've got to think about things like this. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for your love for mankind and your willingness to give your Son to die for everyone. This lets us see how fantastic and great John 3:16 really is. When it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting eternal life." Father, we're thankful that you didn't leave any one of us out. That when you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, you were willing to give that Son for everyone. And when Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, and as the God-man, go to the cross and die for the sins of every individual, we're thankful that every individual was included in that. It all boils down to volition, free will, the decision of individuals. Whether or not you knew about that, there's no doubt about that. We realize that God knew in the eternal ages past who would and who would not. But the provision was made for everyone, and we're thankful for that. As we close this service today, we spend the last couple of minutes simply saying to individuals who may never have yet accepted Jesus Christ as Savior that they could do that right now, because the Bible is so plain. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I am the way, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This is so plain, so uniquely simple, and yet so profound that Jesus is saying, if you ever hope to get to heaven, you're going to have to go through me because I'm the way of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.